All this week, Michigan Radio is presenting Learning to Teach, a series of reports looking at the state of teaching in Michigan. Teachers in Michigan average around $61,000 a year in salary, with starting salaries in the $36,000 range. Would paying our teachers more lead to better teachers, and would it lead to more effective learning environments for the kids? It's happening at a charter middle school in the Washington Heights area of New York City, a school that serves mainly low-income Latino students. In 2009, the Equity Project opened its doors and set starting teacher salaries at $125,000. How are they pulling that off? And has it produced results in student performance? Zeke Vanderhook is with us now from New York. Zeke is the founder and principal of the Equity Project Charter School. Good to have you on Stateside, Zeke.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we say hello to Ryan Silver. Ryan is a sixth grade social studies master teacher at the Equity Project Charter School. Hello there, Ryan.
Hi, thanks for having me also.
Zeke, what a concept. Crack open the wallet and start their pay at $125,000. How did you come to that concept?
It's not that revolutionary in the sense that most people know that if you want talent, you want to attract it and retain it, you've got to pay for it. So teaching is no different. If we want to value teachers in the country, then we have to be willing to pay for them.
How did you come to the process of deciding to open the Equity Project Charter School and take a pretty big jump in what you're going to pay your staff?
Yeah, I mean, I used to teach in a traditional public school. Although there was a lot of struggle and challenge at the school, one thing that was abundantly clear is that the kids were very different in different classrooms, and that was based purely on the expertise and strength of the teacher. In one classroom, they may be poorly managed, not learning much, and right next door with the same kids, they could be very well behaved and also learning a great deal. And that really was solely a reflection of the person who was leading the classroom, the teacher. The idea was to have a school where all classrooms were like that, where all classrooms attracted really great talent. I think there's great talent already in the system, but we need more of it. And so what we did was we took a look at the public school budget that we get as a public charter school and tried to cut administrators, cut other areas so that we could really invest in teachers.
All right, give us kind of the nuts and bolts, Zeke Vanderhook. How are you pulling off this salary? How have you structured things in order to be able to pay that?
Very specifically, New York State charter schools get a per pupil dollar amount, slightly less than what traditional public schools get, but comparable. So we get a regular public budget, and we don't fundraise at all in order to support our teacher salaries. Essentially, what we did was we reduced a lot of the non-teaching personnel in the school building. That's one way we saved considerable resources. If you have fewer non-teachers in the building, then you're going to have more funds left to pay teachers.
And that means that the teachers would have to take over those responsibilities.
Exactly. We have each teacher do something called a whole school service role, which is something related to the school that's a leadership role outside of the classroom. So, for example, Ryan is a grade level lead. He functions, and he can talk more about this, as the leader of the sixth grade team. That might, in another school, be handled by an administrator. It might not be. All of our teachers have some role outside the classroom, whether it's something like that, or a sports coach, or somebody who helps run our tutoring program after school. We certainly still have administrators at the school, and we have a very robust social work department, but teachers do have this one additional responsibility that's substantial outside of the classroom.
And what about class sizes?
Class sizes are average for New York City. So we have 31 kids in a class. We could not do this and have small class sizes. In an ideal world, we'd have teachers making a reasonable salary. We'd have class sizes that are very small. We'd have technology in all the classrooms. But ultimately, you know, there's a finite amount of resources. The decision that we made was, what is the most important way that we can invest the resources? When I taught sixth grade at a traditional public middle school down the street, I had 32 and sometimes 34 kids in a class. So it's not unusually large, but it's also not small.
Ryan Silver, you teach sixth grade social studies. When you came to work at TEP, how did what you were going to make compare to what you had been doing in your career?
In a matter of months, I actually doubled my salary. So I think I was making $62,500 as a dean of students and curriculum in many districts. Actually, that would be considered an administrator. When I came to TEP, along with the same responsibilities, I actually doubled the salary, but it was definitely a worthwhile experience also. So I think all of the work that I was already doing, because I definitely consider myself an expert in the field and an expert in my content, I felt as though I had been working towards something greater for a very long time, and Tepid found a way to really compensate me for the work that I was already doing prior to even joining the faculty here.
Ryan, you have said that teachers won't make it at TEP if it's just about the money, right?
I have.
Talk about that.
I truly, truly believe that when you are a great teacher, you don't come into the field for fun solely. You know, your heart is not set on making a certain salary or retiring very, very wealthy. You come into this field to make a difference in the lives of children. And I've come into contact with so many people that are incredible teachers that do not work for the money. And I've come to work every day with so many teachers that spend hours upon hours teaching because they love doing it, and spending 12 hours here at campus by choice, or spending 7 hours at home on weekends planning lessons because it's what they want to do. And when I say that with all of my heart, and I mean it to the fullest extent of those words. If someone decides to work at the Equity Project Charter School because of this higher compensation, this revolutionary compensation, they won't survive because their eyes are not on what's most important. Zeke made a really good point when he spoke about the differences in classrooms in one building. We could have the experienced teacher with a class of 31 still not producing because they are not a high-quality teacher, and we can have an experienced teacher that is producing because their heart is in what they do. And those are the teachers that we attract here, and those are the teachers that stay here because their heart is in their work. They're passionate about their work, and they're truly master teachers. They're experts of their craft, and they survive because it's already a part of the routine.
And Zeke, you have had some higher turnover than district schools, haven't you?
I don't know about that. I mean, the average length of time, and I just read this, that a middle school teacher spends at one school in New York City is 3 years. We're only in our 6th year, so I think it's a little too early to tell relative to district schools. However, one thing that is different is we don't keep everybody on board. So over the first 5 years of the school, we have, on average, and this isn't a goal, this is just how it's worked out, invited back 75% of the staff each year. Now, keep in mind that we were growing by a grade level each year during the first 4 years of the school, so we were hiring a lot of teachers each year, but that is somewhat unique. During the first 5 years of the school, of those teachers we asked back, 90% came back. There certainly is turnover at the school, some of it because we don't retain teachers, and then there are some teachers who we would like to retain who decide this isn't for them. And I think that's okay. Teachers' stability is very important to the long-term health of a school, but ultimately you have to get the fit right on both sides.
What kind of evaluations, Zeke, do your teachers go through?
We have a pretty extensive evaluation process. We aim to make it really transparent. There are a bunch of different domains, 5 specifically, in which teachers are evaluated. And one of the unique features of our evaluation process is there's multiple constituencies involved in that process. Of course, I'm involved. I observe teachers and give my feedback with respect to their classroom management and their instructional planning and delivery. But there are other constituents who also are part of that process. For example, every student at TEP takes surveys on each of their teachers. These aren't surveys that we've designed. These are sort of research-based surveys in which they rate the extent to which they agree with certain perceptions of teachers. These perception statements have been linked to student achievement gains. For example, a student is asked, rate the extent to which you agree with this statement. Students in Mr. X's class stay busy and don't waste time. And it turns out that the extent to which students agree with a statement like that is highly correlative with the extent to which students are achieving in that class and growing and developing. A third constituency involved is peers. In order for a school, especially a school in a disadvantaged community where there's a lot of need, in order for a school to be functional and not dysfunctional, it really needs to be a team-oriented, collaborative environment. Peers evaluate one another on the extent to which their colleagues adhere to what we call our 10 norms of collaboration, our 10 staff norms. We also, of course, look at student data and student results.
I'm speaking with Zeke Vanderhook, who's founder and principal of the Equity Project Charter School, TEP, in New York. And we're also talking with Ryan Silver, who's a 6th grade social studies master teacher at TEP. And let's talk about results. Zeke, you alluded to that. Has paying your teachers more resulted in better performance from your students?
The school has done very well. I don't know that paying the teachers has impacted the quality of those teachers. It's not that you take a teacher and you give him or her more money and all of a sudden they become a better teacher. The question is, have we attracted high-quality teachers that are now compensated based on their quality, and has that impacted student achievement? And for me, the answer is yes. Having said that, the school's generated a lot of interest, and when the school first opened, Mathematica Policy Research got funding to do a study of the school's first cohort. The students who entered the school in fifth grade in 2009 and graduated in eighth grade. And what they found was that TEP students in that first cohort grew in mathematics by over a year and a half, more than counterparts at other comparable schools based on demographics. Similarly, there were gains of about a half a year in both English and science. We're very, very pleased by those initial results, especially since that was our first cohort. And in some ways, you know, the first cohort of a brand new school is guinea pigs, and hopefully you improve your abilities for subsequent cohorts. My conclusion would be the early results are very strong for the school, but we're always looking to get better.
Ryan Silver, how close has the experience of working at TEP and teaching at TEP, how close has that come to what you had in your mind when you decided to enter teaching as a profession?
It's been a pretty amazing experience overall. When I decided to become a teacher, I was actually 6 years old. And so for my entire academic career, I've been watching the work of teachers and their impact on me as a youngster, and then in college just studying what it took to be a phenomenal teacher, because I didn't come into this field to just be an average teacher, an individual that just met the status quo. I always wanted to be the best at what I did and the best in my practice. Teaching at TEP allows me to not only be phenomenal in my practice, but to work amongst others that consistently push me, and the push of my colleagues and peers to really make me even stronger at my instruction is definitely one of the best parts of working here. I felt like a pretty confident teacher entering TEP, and now I feel truly like a master teacher, mostly because of the growth that I've received from my evaluations, but also from the way that my colleagues push me because they're so driven and motivated themselves.
Zeke, is this pay structure something that you think other schools could take on, particularly public, non-charter schools?
One way that we design this as a model is, except for fundraising for our building, we don't fundraise at all for our operating costs, for our teacher salaries, et cetera. So on a financial level, I absolutely do think it is something that is scalable. It's something that if districts and other charter schools or other one-off schools wanted to invest heavily in teacher equity, in teacher quality, they could. Now, there are certainly constraints that districts operate under. There are certainly union contracts, but the union hopefully would be a big supporter of investing in teachers in this way. From an organizational perspective, we've learned a lot in the past 6 years. The big question we're trying to answer is, how do you make teaching, especially teaching kids who come from disadvantaged areas, how do you make that a sustainable long-term profession for talented people? We've innovated in other areas too. For example, we have a school calendar that, although it's 180 days of school, similar to schools across the country, it's year-round, and we have long breaks throughout the year instead of an extended two-month-plus summer. That's one of our sustainability initiatives that's been very popular with our staff. And it's just an example of how do we make this sustainable. It's not just for this school. It's for schools across the country. It's something that we hope to inspire other schools and other school districts to take a look closely at our model and say, what are the pieces of this that could apply to us?
Zeke Vanderhook is the founder and the principal of the Equity Project Charter School in New York City. Oh, it's time to change classes. And Ryan Silver is a sixth grade social studies master teacher at TEP, speaking to us from the Washington Heights area in New York City. It was great to talk with both of you. Thank you so much. Off to class.
All right. Thank you so much. Take care. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.